This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, May 8, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A missing letter on hundreds of Amway Riverbank Run medals has runners scratching their heads and organizers offering a lighthearted apology. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
What is a fincher? Organizers of Grand Rapids 2026 Amway Riverbank Run on Saturday, May 9th say it's one letter short of finisher and a typo on the ribbon holding the medal earned by runners who complete the 42 and 25K runs. They addressed the mistake online in posts reading, "Somewhere between mile one and the finish line, the I didn't quite make it. While the ribbon missed a letter, your accomplishment did not, and we're genuinely sorry for the oversight." They add that runners deserve a perfect finish, so they will mail updated ribbons to those who request them later this summer. Just fill out a form on the Amway Riverbank Run website. I'm Dee Morrison.
Smoke billowed above Grand Rapids Friday morning as crews worked to put out a fire in a one-story commercial building in the 1100 block of Plainfield Avenue Northeast, south of Leonard Street. A formal investigation is ongoing, but early reports suggest the fire may have been sparked by construction crews doing demolition work at the site. Several nearby roads were shut down to allow fire crews access to hydrants and equipment. No one was injured. The main blaze was quickly contained, but heavy smoke was visible much of the morning above the Creston and Belknap lookout areas. Authorities have identified the two victims from Tuesday's shooting outside a Grand Rapids elementary school, as well as the suspect. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the latest.
Following an autopsy by the Kent County Medical Examiner, the deaths of 38-year-old Savannah Rubio and 15-year-old Jeremiah Griffin Cuevas have been ruled a homicide. 18-year-old Rafael Martinez Lopez has been charged with two counts of open murder, two felony firearms charges, and three additional weapons charges. Authorities allege Martinez Lopez approached a group of kids that included Jeremiah on Tuesday evening outside Southwest Elementary, asking if he could join them in their soccer game. When they refused, Martinez Lopez shot Jeremiah. When Rubio tried to intervene, she was also shot. Jeremiah died at the scene. Rubio passed away after being transported to a hospital. Martinez Lopez fled the scene but was later found and arrested. In a statement, Grand Rapids Interim Police Chief Joe Trigg said, quote, "We have care and concern for all victims, but this kind of senseless violence just hits differently, even for long-serving officers like myself. We are grieving alongside their loved ones and our community," end quote. I'm David Limbaugh.
State food inspectors are warning people not to use or eat products made by Dancing Goat Creamery at its Ionia County processing plant due to unsanitary conditions and possible contamination. Inspectors identified potential health risks from undeclared ingredients like peanut butter, eggs, and soy that may cause serious or life-threatening allergic reactions in some consumers. Recent state inspection found unsanitary processing and storage conditions that can lead to contamination. Any Dancing Goat or Goat's Best products made prior to May 4 should be thrown away. Retail invoices may list the seller as Brookwood Farm or Creamery. Products include goat's milk cheese, gelato, and goat's milk. A Boston-based doctor pioneering care for unhoused populations shared his insights during a visit to Grand Rapids on Thursday. WGVU's David Limbaugh spoke with Dr. Jim O'Connell.
Dr. Jim O'Connell has been caring for homeless individuals since 1985, when he established the nation's first medical respite program with 25 beds inside a Boston shelter.
And as we've learned, certainly in Boston and around the country, one of the leading causes of death among homeless people is actually cancer and heart disease and diabetes, things that we should be going out and treating in a setting that's much lower cost than the emergency room.
Grand Rapids-based nonprofit Catherine's Health Center hosted Dr. O'Connell, whose focus is on the importance of caring for people where they live.
I think what Grand Rapids is doing that I admire and is emulated in other cities, but often hard to do, and it may be because you've got just the right people in the right size city, is that it's a collaborative effort.
Catherine's recently launched a mobile health van and opened a clinic inside Mel Trotter Ministries. Dr. O'Connell praises the collaboration.
It's reaching out to people on the streets and in the shelters, but making sure it's part of a continuum of care that involves so many collaborators.
According to the National Library of Medicine, around 60% of individuals entering the shelter system report having at least one medical complaint. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the previews of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. The nonprofit at the center of a legislative grant scandal is now suing the state. Colin Jackson has more.
In 2023, the nonprofit Global Link International received the first half of a $20 million grant from the state. The money, directed by lawmakers, flowed through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, or MEDC. It was meant to bring in international business, but concerns arose over the Global Link director's $500,000 salary and other spending. That led the MEDC to cancel the grant in March of last year and demand unspent funds back. This week, the Michigan Attorney General's office charged Global Link's director with several felonies related to the grant spending. The same day as the charges were announced, Global Link sued the state to have the grant restored. Global Link's lawyers argue the grant gave the organization broad discretion to spend its funds. The MEDC declined to comment. I'm Colin Jackson.
Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says there is a firewall between her and decisions regarding this year's gubernatorial election while she is running for governor. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Benson outlined the plans in a letter to the chair of the Michigan Board of State Canvassers, a bipartisan elections panel. Benson says she will be kept in the dark about decisions regarding candidate petitions, ballot access controversies, and campaign finance complaints until they are made public by the Michigan Bureau of Elections. Benson is releasing these plans because she's seeking the Democratic Party nomination for governor. Benson says she developed the firewall rules in consultation with the Election Reformers Network, which has a list of best practices. Some Republicans have called for federal oversight of Michigan's elections because Benson is Michigan's top elections official. But it is not unusual for secretaries of state of both major parties to appear on the ballot while still serving in the office. I'm Rick Pluta.
The Michigan Sentencing Commission met for the first time in nearly 30 years on Thursday. The commission is a nonpartisan advisory group that studies sentencing data and advises lawmakers on how to adjust sentencing guidelines. Chairperson Christopher Yates leads the group. He says major shifts in how Michigan handles crimes are part of why the commission's work is especially important today.
You can have offenders who have nearly identical crimes and criminal histories who could wind up with vastly different sentences. And that, of course, is completely antithetical to the purpose of a guideline system.
Members on the commission also include representatives of the courts, law enforcement, behavioral health, and other fields. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Mortal Kombat 2 brings the action on movie screens this week with the return of Johnny Cage fighting for the Earthrealm. The Sheep Detectives is a cozy mystery starring Hugh Jackman and Emma Thompson. And the Billie Eilish Hit Me Hard and Soft concert movie has gotten critical acclaim, with the singer collaborating with director James Cameron. All this and more with WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Righetti from Studio C in our weekly movie talk.
All right, the big movie opening this weekend is Mortal Kombat 2, which we're going to talk about. The movie that I'm excited about is The Sheep Detectives. There's also a Billie Eilish concert film that's opening up, directed by James Cameron, and it's getting some interesting press in terms of the innovative film techniques used. And so what are you expecting this weekend, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, we are in another week of an amazing, diverse slate of content that I feel like hits a film for anybody. And I'm very excited about that. So I guess we could just start at the top and work our way down. But Mortal Kombat 2, we're back. I mean, Mortal Kombat was the first one was, you know, I should say the remake, because obviously you had the old original. But, you know, the first one that came out, the more modern one, was sort of like the pandemic movie.
Okay, so that was 2020, 2021?
2021.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's been a minute, but also, like, you know, the itch was scratched a few years ago with the first one. You know, the first one is sort of like the, you know, this guy who doesn't really know what's going on, you know, gets pulled into sort of the Mortal Kombat universe. But like the Mortal Kombat universe is very much like joining or colliding with his world. And so like a lot of the action just takes place in like the regular world with like all of these Mortal Kombat characters that you know and love. And what I kind of appreciate about this one is it sort of does it just sort of leaps you more into the world of Mortal Kombat. And so Johnny Cage played by Carl Urban, is sort of the character in which we sort of get to ride the film through. But yeah, he gets pulled in because Shao Kahn has come, and where the Earth is up against the Outer Realm for another match of Mortal Kombat, and whoever wins gets to rule. And so you got Katana, who's sort of like another character, a main character in this film, and has sort of like an overarching arc as well. I mean, all of the characters you know and love, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, like they're all in there.
You say know and love, so this is from the Mortal Kombat game itself.
Yes, because it's based on the game, the video game. And so that's actually my favorite part about this film is, it's like, you know, the first one they had it where, you know, it's just Mortal Kombat characters sort of in the real world fighting. Whereas, like, when you play Mortal Kombat, it's a 2D game, right? So you've got sort of the characters, you know, on a plane in which they're sort of going back and forth and jumping over each other. And in this film, they do a couple times where, as the characters are fighting, they sort of, like, teleport themselves into a level, if you will, where you have two characters that are on sort of this, you know, concrete bridge. There's two doors on either side where they sort of enter from, but then, like, there's just toxic ooze on either side. It's based off of one of the levels from the video game. There's chains hanging down from the ceiling. And it's like there's nowhere to go on this sort of like concrete sidewalk other than to fight because you're surrounded by just this toxic ooze. And like that's what everybody like those are the levels that people love in Mortal Kombat. And so I just think it's very true to the game. You've got obviously fun characters like Johnny Cage in there. And yeah, I think like if you liked the first one, you're going to like this one. If you like Mortal Kombat, I think you're going to have a fun time. I mean, it's rated R. You're gonna see someone's spine, you know, whatever, just ripped out from their cells and finished in, you know, whatever a beautiful way that people who like Mortal Kombat like, you know, like that's why you play Mortal Kombat is for the finishing blow, character animations that they do. So you've got that, and then you've got this amazing family film called The Sheep Detectives, which is Hugh Jackman plays sort of the shepherd. It's based on a book, but he is a shepherd of a bunch of sheep, obviously. And every night he reads them sort of like murder mystery novels. And, you know, like there's a clip in the trailer where he like, you know, stops the book at a certain point and like, you know, he goes into his little cabin RV thing and all the sheep complain because they're like, oh, why did he stop right there at that moment? But yeah, so like,
and that's when you realize the sheep have their own language. They talk to each other.
Yeah, the sheep, all the animals can talk to each other, but they can't talk to the humans. But anyway, so Hugh Jackman's character dies mysteriously overnight, and a lot of the police and people involved just think that something, you know, didn't happen. It just sort of, you know, maybe he drank too much or something or had a heart attack. But the sheep are determined and they believe that he was murdered. And so they are going to solve the case using all of the knowledge that they've gained over the years from the books that he's read to them. And I just think that's a fun time.
Yeah, and you know, this type of movie for me is really super corny, but I've seen the trailer and my thought was, wow, this might be the feel-good movie of the year.
Yeah, I mean, the cast is insanely stacked. I mean, there's a ton of people in it playing just random sheep or characters. It's just going to be a little fun ride for them to solve the mystery. And then, yeah, and then the last thing that you mentioned, so the Billie Eilish Hit Me Hard and Soft, which is in 3D, of course, because James Cameron came alongside Billie Eilish to direct this. Both of them sort of directed it together.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and so they filmed one of her concerts for her latest album is Hit Me Hard and Soft. So while they were on tour, I think it was in either Atlanta or Toronto. It was like 4 days, and they shot basically all 4 days. But they came up with all this new technology. So they, because they can't put cameras like really close to the stage, they had to use these very long telephoto lenses on a 3D system that has never really been done before. And so because they need to be able to go from the back of the room all the way to the stage. You know, that adds sort of an extra little layer of the 3D element to this. And then in addition to that, they had to design and create like these small little cameras that they fit also like in little spots along the stage to record all of this, which is super fun. And then obviously she knows where they are. And so like as she's just performing on a regular concert night, you know, she's taking beats to go interact with certain little small cameras that are hidden on the stage. So it is in itself a concert film, but it is also sort of a little bit of behind the scenes documentary about the tour. Like it's her prepping and going, you know, day to day for the days that they were shooting. It's a little bit of behind the scenes of, you know, the action, but then I'm sure that'll all get intercut and laid in between, you know, the song performances from the concert. So
is this IMAX 3D or is this a standard
3D? It's just standard 3D. It's okay. Not an IMAX. But Mortal Kombat is the IMAX movie this week, and the C Premium one as well. But yeah, so it's just this fun concert film. Billie Eilish had a documentary a few years ago when she released her first album that was made by Apple that did play on IMAX, and I went and saw it. And my wife and I loved it. It was like one of our favorite documentaries of all time, just sort of getting the behind the scenes of Billie, who she is. I mean, she's a genius in music and also in filmmaking. Like she directs all of her music videos and stuff like that. And everything's connected and layered, you know, like her last album connected directly to this album type of stuff. So the just sort of the creativity behind Billie and then also James Cameron coming together is super fun.
Also, tell us about Mental Health Mondays.
Yeah, May is Mental Health Month, and we do a Green Bucket campaign. So we, you know, contribute a certain amount of dollars for every bucket purchased, and then we donate that at the end of the month. But we are launching this week and next week, sort of a filmed, you know, one off. So Silver Linings Playbook is playing this week for sort of like mental health week. But then on Monday, all the tickets, like if you go to see Silver Linings Playbook on Monday, it's a free ticket. Every other day, it's $6, but you can go see Silver Linings Playbook this week. And then next week, which we'll talk about, but is Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I think is just an amazing, like, just go take a day and check out and enjoy yourself. You know, just really prioritizing your mental health and so lights, camera, take action on your mental health.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, May 8, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.